Welcome to Why Am I Laughing? The podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Harrison. With me, as always, is my co-host, RJ Sines. We're your in-house comedy gurus. We talk about what's funny, why it's funny, and can someone please remind me the moral of the story of Beauty and the Beast?
Don't open the door at night.
I think it's like Gaston is a jerk.
Fall in love at any moment for any reason at all.
You can fall in love with a beast, or if you fall in love with someone, you can change them.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it is.
Doesn't matter
if they're literally a wolf.
Feel free to trust any talking objects. They got your best interest for you.
Listen to lampstands
with French accents. Guaranteed home
run. Talk about cheese bait.
Also, if they're in France, how come Belle doesn't have a French accent?
Uh-oh.
Je ne sais pas.
Je ne sais quoi?
No, it's... Is it quoi or pas?
I don't know. I don't speak French.
Je ne sais pas. I think it's je ne sais pas.
Today we're going to be talking about the late, great comedy legend, Mr. Don Rickles.
Wow. I'm so happy we're talking about him. I'm saying the same thing I said last week. We've talked about him so much on our podcast already. It's a shame that we have to do this podcast posthumously. Mm. But you know what? Better late than never.
Star of stage and screen and making fun of the guy in the front row.
I'm looking at you, buddy.
You are. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about something cool and new, our Patreon site.
What's a Patreon?
I'm so glad you asked, Mr. Sales Pitch. Let me tell you, basically, it's a website designed to help support your local artists, a.k.a. us in this
instance. Wait a minute. That's cool and all, but what's in it for me, huh, guy?
Thanks, Mr. Sales Pitch. You give us as little as a dollar a month, and you get rewards. So it's not just, you know, supporting us. You also get stuff in return.
Whoa. You say there's something for me? What are these rewards, huh, buddy boy?
Well, let me tell you some of the rewards, Mr. Sales Pitch. You get more content, extra stuff. If you chuck in a buck a month, you'll be included in our weekly whale mail to the fans.
Okay.
We're going to be sending out a newsletter.
That's pretty cool. But if I give you more money, do I give more stuff?
Absolutely. If you chuck in a little bit more than that, let's say around $2, you'll get such stuff as our weekly whale mail email and our warm-up, which is never before heard to ears other than our own.
Okay, so basically, you're telling me I give you some money, all right? And you give me stuff in exchange for that money?
I'll even sweeten the deal. If you throw in a couple more bucks, you'll receive the warm-up, a weekly whale mail, and early access to the pod before anyone else.
Whoa, that sounds like a killer deal, guy. Sign me up at patreons.gov.
Oh my gosh. Go to patreon.com/whalepod. But before we get into any more of that, we're going to take the news.
Let's talk about some news for all you fake newsers. HBO just announced that TJ Miller will be getting his own stand-up special on June 17th called Meticulously Ridiculous.
Oh.
Ben, you know about TJ Miller.
I do, but could you, for the fans, describe who and what he is and his blood type?
O positive.
Oh, I'm positive about that.
How do you describe TJ Miller? He's...
It's like somebody who put their finger in a light socket also was raised in the Bronx.
No, I don't even know. He's just like... He's just got
sarcasm,
sarcastic, intelligent. He's got like, I don't want to say like homeless guy intelligence, but like he's got like that grungy, dirty, but like he's really smart, like a really funny comedian. And like he's not like a dirty comic by any means, but like he just talks about like anything, and like he's got like a really unique, crazy energy.
You probably remember him from the like outtake sizzle reel of Deadpool where he's just. Like commenting on Ryan Reynolds' face.
Or
it looks like an avocado had sex with an older avocado.
Yeah.
It looks like a topographical map of Utah. That's
or so funny. That map where he's ridiculing.
That map?
What did I say?
He said, or that map where he's ridiculing.
Gosh dang it. That commercial where he's ridiculing that orange from the beer can. He's like, what are you, a talking orange? Shut up and give me a beer.
I don't remember that.
It's like, hey, buddy, you look like you've been homeless for 6.5 years. He's like, I don't take crap from things that shouldn't be speaking.
That's a good joke.
Yeah. He's also like the blue Slim Jim genie, which is pretty funny.
Mm.
Anyways, go check that out, June 17th. Also, Netflix has announced the long-awaited Grace and Frankie Season 4.
And by Grace that I mean, Frank.
And by that I mean, they literally just dropped season 3, so no one's been waiting for season 4. Nice. So don't worry, if you have a guilty pleasure just like me, you're going to see Grace and Frank back on your Netflix home screen theaters.
Excellent.
Love it. Love Jane Fonda. Love Lily Tomlin.
It's like Golden Girls meets Modern Family.
It's like Golden Girls meets, I would say,
Will and Grace
and Rec.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. They just got some good modern spins on things. Whatever. I don't want to get into it. That's for another episode. Maybe not. It's guilty pleasure. Also, some TV news. John Cleese is set to star in his first sitcom since Fawlty Towers. It's called Edith. It's a show about a woman played by Alison Steadman who's planning on marrying her new BF, John Cleese, and move to a sunnier climate when her 50-year-old son announces that he's moving back home after leaving his job and his family. Womp womp. Classic premise for a classic TV show. Honestly, I wasn't super impressed by the premise, but John Cleese said it's the best TV script he's been sent in 100 years, which is crazy because he's been around for like 500 years.
He has to say that.
I don't think so. I mean, seriously, he hasn't been on a show since Fawlty Towers.
Yeah. Is that true, though?
Sitcom.
Oh, sitcom. Yeah, I was okay.
What were you going to say? Like, just Ratatouille?
That, no, that Flying Circus was a thing. But you're right, it's not a sitcom. Okay.
I'm pretty sure...
I had to remind myself who Alison Sweeney was.
Sweeney Steadman.
Steadman.
She Alison was Steadman. In... They were in Clockwork together?
Sure.
I don't remember the movie. Clockwise?
Time
Bandits? Bandits.
Yeah.
Is that it? No, it's Clockwise. It's a clock movie. Ugh, now I'm looking it up.
Time Bandits is a movie that John Cleese did.
Yeah, but I don't think it's Time Banditos.
Yeah, but you can't say it's not.
Look it up. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to look it up in 5 seconds. It's called Clockwise. Just like I said, Clockwise. Read it and weep. 1986. What were you doing in 1986? Nothing. You weren't even a winkle. Winkle. Forget it.
Sure, I was a winkle. I mean, who's not, you know?
Speaking of winkles, folks, we got a great show for you about Don Winkles.
Don Winkle Wrinkle?
Wrinkle. Oh, golly.
Well, is that all you have for news?
That's all I got, Don Winkles.
Sounds good. Well, if you could give us a little brief history about Don Winkle Wrinkle, it'd be greatly appreciated for the fans.
Let's get into it, guys. Straight out of Jackson Heights, Don Rickles, the kid from New York, loved to be a wise guy. He was always running his mouth off and getting away with it. Even overseas in World War II, he was known for his entertaining spirit. But it wasn't until he got home in 1946 that he decided to chase his dreams. He would study at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts and do stand-up gigs in comedy clubs in New York, LA, and Miami. And he eventually became infamous for his insult comic style and began working shows in Las Vegas, where he would impress many and eventually the great Frank Sinatra, winning a special place in Sinatra's heart as well as the title of the Rat Pack's court jester. Rickles has starred in multiple films alongside the biggest stars in all of Hollywood, appeared on talk shows, comedy roasts, sitcoms, and continued his stand-up tours across the country even in his final years. Do you know that? He literally was touring like this last year.
The man's above and beyond legend. We've said it before and we'll say it again. This guy's unstoppable.
And I mean, I've seen video footage of him in a chair in front of hundreds of people just going crazy.
Riffing.
He's got more energy sitting in a chair than most people do running marathons. It's unbelievable, this guy.
Yeah.
He lights up like a Christmas tree as soon as he comes out. And that's like, when I think of, you know, the greats, Richard Pryor, Lenny Bruce, and Don Rickles. Don mm-hmm. Rickles is definitely up there on my Mount Rushmore of comedians.
Carlin.
Yeah, Carlin as well. But Rickles, for just pioneering this, like, real third way comedy. Like, he has like jokes for reals, but his ability just to go, just to riff, just to be pure comedic energy, yeah. just coming at you full force. He's just amazing.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We're here to answer one question and one question only.
Mm.
Why is Don Rickles funny? Let me tell you, while it's so terrible to think that we have lost one of the true great comedians of our time, Don Rickles was vintage comedy, and there's truly no one like him. His comedy will live on through all of us as we lovingly make fun of ourselves and others. But Don Rickles is funny because he can make fun of anyone and anything. Don can whip up a slew of insults on the spot and say it in a way that makes even the target of his jokes die laughing. No one was off limits for Don. He would make fun of the Queen, the President, even Frank Sinatra, to their faces. And there was no greater honor. Johnny Carson coined the nickname Mr. Warmth because at his core, even though as he was saying insults on stage, he was the sweetest man. And for all of his offensive jokes, they came from a place of love. To quote the man himself, he said, "If I were to insult people and actually mean it, that wouldn't be funny." This guy cared.
Yeah. I mean, if you listen to interviews with him and Charlie Rose, stuff with him and Seinfeld, even at the ends of his stand-up acts, you see him, like, break away that persona of, like, his, like, mm-hmm. big matador, angry comedian guy. And he just says, "From the bottom of my heart, I hope you guys have all the love in the world. Many blessings to you. I hope God is as good to you as he has been to me.
Mm-hmm.
God bless. God bless all of you." Like, he's the sweetest man. And that's the thing that just kills me is, like, he really isn't, like, serious about
right.
the mean things he's saying. He knows it's a joke. Everyone knows it's a joke. He's built his career on, mm-hmm. "I'm not serious."
Yeah. And I feel like even though he's literally calling someone fat or Asian or whatever, it comes through in that moment because of the subject material he kind of goes through. He never really, unless he knew you and was right. close with you, he never really would insult people's, like, personalities or insecurities.
Right. Well,
I mean, to a certain extent, if you're fat and insecure about that, he's going to let you have it.
Yeah.
But it's coming, like, he talks so much about race.
Yeah.
And really, you know, like, unhinged the gates and just went for it with regards to race. But if you don't know someone and you're just looking at them and you're making fun of their race, like, you can't actually think that this person is, like, a mean person, because race, like, if you don't know someone, that's just something that's, you know, nobody's chosen what race they are.
Right, right. Well, I'll take, like, a step further. Like, it's this interesting, like, build up for his joke, which is his whole act, where he makes fun of anything and everyone. But it's based, the groundwork is in a time where, you know, throw out anything politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were things that were taboo, but, you know, a lot of the jokes that, like, people are, quote-unquote, afraid to say, or, like, it's, you know, blue-collar comedy stuff now, like, you don't want to say that now. But back then, it was still kind of funny, and, oh, this is fresh and exciting yeah. and new. He built his career in that time saying, "I'm doing this for fakesies. This is a joke.
Right.
And I'm making fun of you people, racists, fatsos, mm-hmm. girls, broads, whatever." And throughout history has been able to ride that wave because he established himself as the jester.
Mm-hmm.
He's not serious. Don't take me seriously, folks. I'm being an a-hole. Like, yeah. don't, you know, forget about it.
Yeah, we watched a Netflix documentary, which I would highly recommend. It's called Mr. Warmth, where Lewis Black is talking about that exact thing, where he's saying, like, you know, back in the day, like, a king would have a jester to remind the king, like, that he's just human. And this is what Don was. Like,
yeah.
You know, all these big names, these massive stars that he was so close with, mm-hmm. he's just taking them down a peg, you know?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. I mean, we so much talk about his role, you know, with people like Johnny Carson, Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. But I love so much that his comedy has just transcended, like, the old age, you know? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you couldn't do Rickles' act now if you weren't Rickles. Does right. that make sense?
No, yeah.
So his act only works because he's been doing it since then.
Right.
And I think, I mean, I hear some argument where someone could say, oh, but you know what? He just called that guy a Jap and said, if you're not a Jap, go get your eyes fixed. Mm-hmm. Like, that's offensive. Don't say that. And I go, you're right. That is. He's been doing this for 50 years. If you go see him, you probably know he's been doing this 50 years based on a career that's, I'm not serious. I pick on everyone. On everyone. The blacks, the whites, the purples, the yellows, the blondes, the browns, like everyone.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. So.
And he comes from that era. Like in that documentary, we saw the actual newspaper printed as like, Japs declare war. Like, this is something, this is a terminology that wasn't, you know, uncommon at the time.
Yeah.
And so he's kind of like, you're right. He's ridden that to nowadays where, you know, people can't really get away with printing that or saying that to someone. Like, that's
if
just,
you call a woman a broad, she's going to punch you in the gut, buddy. You're not getting a first date and you're definitely not getting a kiss.
Easy, broad. No, that's, you know, you're so right. But yeah, he comes from that era and is able to just, like, look at someone and, you know, in the same sentence, make fun of them and insult them and be offensive.
Yeah.
And then in, like, the same turnaround, like show them love and like, no, I don't actually mean this. I care.
Right. And I think that was the interesting thing. Like, because he has done this so successfully throughout his career, it became, like, a badge of honor to get insulted by him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Celebrities were concerned for their well-being and celebrity status if Don Rickles hadn't made fun of them yet.
Right.
To their face or whatever. And, you know, if you were a fan, you wanted to go to his show so that he could see you and be like, look at this guy. Excuse me, sir. Is that your wife? Jesus. Would you get hit by a train? Like, he...
Yeah.
He people wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird to me because if you just first watch, if your first impression of Don Rickles is him insulting a dude's wife, you're like, what the hell? Like, I don't want this. Like, that is not cool. But the more you get into his material and the more you hear, like, what he's about,
yeah,
you just recognize, like, oh my gosh, like, this is so funny. Uh-huh. Like, this is what it's about. It's the experience of it all.
But also, at the same time, like, give someone a transcript of Don Rickles' act.
Yeah.
And tell him, go out on stage and say this exact thing.
Yeah.
That poor bastard is going to get booed off the stage because Rickles' delivery was masterful. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's going a mile a minute so that he can, you know, send out all these jabs and blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, look at this guy. Hey, look over to your wife. You might want to give her mouth to mouth so you can see the end of the show. I might tell you, see what I... Like, he's just going and going.
I tell you this.
Yeah. He's just going and he does
not... What's this guy doing? Smell his hand? Hey, buddy, you stink. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
And he's just, like, unstoppable. Like, going and going. You don't even have a chance to be offended because he's already making fun of the guy next
you're
to you
so
and you're laughing.
Right. So... Like, so let's look at this just for a brief second. I love that what you just said there. Neurologically, I'm not a doctor, and I have very little experience
yet
in neuroscience. I'm pretty sure to laugh, we've talked about this on one of our episodes,
jokes.
To register things that are funny, that's your amygdala. That's one of the very first primal like instincts in our brain is to go, oh, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
to think about things and be offended, that's in your ventromedial prefrontal mm-hmm. cortex. That's like the very front of your head. Like mm-hmm. this is way more advanced thinking. So you're so right. You're laughing before you can even think like, oh, I guess that's kind of offensive. You called me a Mexican. Like that's pretty bad, but it's funny. It's yeah. funny. Like he's just getting jabs
and,
at everybody.
And by the time you've thought that, he's already made fun of the 10 people sitting
yeah,
next to you.
Yeah, so you don't feel singled out.
Totally.
Yeah, and that's...
I mean, sometimes. I feel like some of the ones I was watching, he just, like that fat guy, he would just, like, look at him and just go and be like, oh, my gosh, your wife sleeps with you? What is she, like, ah!
What is she, 2D?
Yeah, he wakes up in the morning and she's just two-dimensional, completely flat. So good. And, oh, my gosh, that's another thing that I think is so... amazing about his style and timing. Everything is freaking timing in comedy, and he had, you know, he was the master at it.
Yeah,
his physicality.
Yes,
he, for, you know, being 80 and 90, like, he was so physical. He would you know, make the joke and then do like a shtick where he's, you know, kicking his legs in the air, like,
yeah,
well, I'm over in Germany walking like this, hut the hut the huh. You're like, oh my gosh. But his physicality, like, it helped you buy in.
Even an 80-year-old, like, he adapted with his age and his health.
Mm-hmm.
He would walk slowly, but each step was intentional and with power mm-hmm. and, like, comedic presence. And, like, a, you know, turn around, a stutter, like, what the? Hey, Ben, cut it out. You're doing the wrong song.
Yeah.
Jeez, ruin everything for this yeah. show. Why do I even have you? The band has been playing with him for 50 years.
Yeah.
And he's ridiculing them. Uh-huh. Like, oh my gosh, like so stupid. But his whole style is just perfectly crafted over years and years and years of work.
Mm-hmm.
And some of his best stuff that you can see on the internet anyways, this is like right at the tips of your fingers, is some of his celebrity roast stuff. Dean Martin back in the day would do these huge celebrity roasts, kind of like you see now, like, you know, they roast James Franco, Justin Bieber, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. He was the closer. Don Rickles was the closer because no one wanted to follow him.
Yeah.
And he would just destroy everybody. And that was the worst part, because if you were the first person up to do a comedy roast, there's like six people on either side of you at this table, and there's someone who's roasting, you're roasting Frank Sinatra. You talk about everyone at the table, then you talk about Frank. But if you're the last person to go, now you have 12 people of material you can rip on,
yeah,
and then finally hit the person who's the mm-hmm. guest of honor. So people who wrote for these roasts were like, it was the worst because Don was unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want him going up first because no one would follow Don.
Yeah.
But you didn't want him going last because he would kill everybody.
Yeah.
And he would just, I can't even believe some of the jokes he said at people's expense. Like Orson Welles, right? Famed author. Like uh-huh. amazing yeah. author. I guess I've never seen a picture of him. I don't know. He's very large. He's a very large man. And okay. not just like he's a fat dude.
Yeah.
Like he's like 6'4" and like 300 pounds. Like huge yeah. dude.
With like a cigar in his mouth.
I'm yeah, yeah. And a huge beard. And Orson Welles, Don Rickles is up. He's like, and Orson Welles, great news, buddy. We're getting you a sponsorship from Goodyear. We're going to paint you and fly you around Huntington Beach every Sunday. Orson Welles looks like he's going to throw up laughing. And right next to him is Jimmy Stewart, you know, the yeah. famous actor. He's a little bit older than. He's like, Jimmy, over here, honey.
Yeah,
yeah, talk to your wife. She's getting a divorce.
Oh, my God.
But she says you're doing well in the home. Good for you. And it's just so, I just think his ability to pick on anyone, everyone. Yeah. He's at like an award show thing for Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ripping on, he's like, and you know, De Niro's here. De Niro, you know, one of the greatest actors of his time. He'll tell you that. He will.
So good.
He'll yeah. rip on everybody.
There's something about, like, so getting insulted by someone who means it.
Yeah.
Is arming. You get defensive. You're like, what the heck, dude? What did I do to you? Getting insulted by someone who truly doesn't mean it is disarming.
Yeah.
Like, you're watching all these people just get more and more relaxed and like, you know, it brings levity into situations that maybe not have. Like, for instance, I got to watch the Jimmy Kimmel first show after learning that Don Rickles has passed away. And it's so good, so moving. I love, you know, the connection that he had. It's special. And I do want to talk about this later, the connection that he had with so many different celebrities.
Yeah.
But he talks about this story where, it's the Rat Pack, out at a restaurant, and Frank Sinatra is upset. He takes a bottle of ketchup and in his anger tosses it, hucks it, splatters it up against the wall, this white wall in a restaurant. It's just covered. And the whole restaurant gasps and looks, and without missing a beat, Don just looks at him and goes, "Hey, Frank, can you pass the ketchup?" Like, he could have, saved the restaurant from the rage of Frank Sinatra.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
That's so amazing to me that he can have that ability to make fun of someone in order to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, seriously.
Nobody can do that. I cannot do that.
Yeah, it's very...
That's a personality
fine
trait.
Fine line to walk. Yeah, I mean, I watched a couple of documentaries and interviews with him talking about him being a wise-ass growing up, and that's... I think both you and I could identify with that. I was for sure a wise ass. I got, run my mouth off way too much in class, didn't know when to shut up. I'm a conversationalist. So put me in the front, talk to people in the front, put me in the back, talk to people in the back. But I by no means was somebody who could say mean things and make people feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
It's such a fine line to walk. Because if you imagine... like seeing an interview with Don Rickles on the news or something, and he's like, "You know what? For realsies, like I'm not a big fan of Japanese people." All of a sudden, when he's doing his show, you're like, "Oh, dude, this is like borderline not okay." Like, ugh. But he never was like that. He genuinely loved everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's so good. I love that. Yeah. So disarming and good. That's like I want to be that.
Yeah. Gosh, and his style had just become this ultra persona.
Mm-hmm.
And this persona, I love the fact that he had such a presence on the vintage Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Yeah. He'd been on there for like over 100 episodes with Johnny. And Johnny and him had this amazing connection. Ed McMahon was saying that Johnny wouldn't prepare anything for Rickles.
Right.
He wouldn't prep at all. He wouldn't even talk to Don.
So normally on a talk show, you have like, okay, we're going to talk about the time that Drew Barrymore went to the grocery store and slipped and fell.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about.
Remember, Drew, we're going to talk about that.
So we're going to, go through that and punch it up. But yeah, for Don, what are you going to prepare? You can't prepare anything.
And he wouldn't. And exactly. That's the best thing. Like, Johnny knew. I can't do an episode on Johnny Carson. Jeez, talk about timing. This is a guy who could read his interviewee perfectly. And Don was a great, great match for him because they would just click together and they could just work off each other. Even though, Johnny is not, the over-the-top, crazy New York Jew. He's Midwestern comfort man. He can still riff and battle with the best. Yeah. One of the best bits ever. They had Bob Newhart was guest hosting the Tonight Show.
Sure.
And he had Don Rickles on. They're like BFFs, perfect. Don's doing his thing and he's, moving stuff around on the desk and he smashes Johnny's cigarette case. It's a wooden little box that he kept there on his desk. Kind of says, "Oh no, I broke a cigarette case. He's going to kill me." The next night they're doing the show and Johnny's like, "Well, tonight we got a thing over here." What the hell? Somebody broke my cigarette case. Who broke this?
Yeah,
and the
it's
guy,
so funny to watch everyone put it together.
Last night, and the audience is like, it was Don Rickles. Don Rick. What the heck? God dang that guy! Yeah. He ruins everything. Like he's recording CPA Charlie or Sharky next door. Mm-hmm. He's like, he's recording next door. We're gonna go next door. We're gonna go there right now. And they literally take the camera crew like live recording.
Which this is nowadays it's something that happens, but in this time it never happened.
Yeah, they got
you had to take a wired mic. There's what just, even is that?
You know, 8 gallons of film that got a wheel with them to go into the next room. And like, here we go. They go out the studio into literally across the hall into the next studio. And Don Rickles is in there. And he's like in the middle of a scene doing one of his things. And he's like, Rickles, is this you? You breaking my case? What the hell's wrong with you? And he's and Rickles is just like
totally
so caught
off guard. Caught
off guard. Yeah. So embarrassed. Just like, please take me back, Johnny. I'm so sorry. I'll do anything. I just want to be with you. It's like, get your hands off me. Get your hands. It's like totally ripping.
It's so good. Instinctively, he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Carson, Johnny Carson. And then Johnny looks at him like, why do you always do that? Why do you tell people my name? They know my name.
They know who I am. Yeah, damn it. I'm Johnny Carson. Don Rickles, ever. Don Rickles. Like, walks out. One of the best jokes Johnny has with him. They would just bicker all the time. He's going, this is a man who's had more failed pilots than the Japanese Air Force, Mr. Don Rickles, everybody.
Yeah, I love it. He's introing him one time. He goes, all right, ladies and gentlemen, my next guest, he's the poster child for rabies. This is Mr. Don Rickles.
And they always played like the Matador theme when they walked out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is so perfect because like he was the Matador. He was the bullfighter. Bull. Yeah. Was he the bull or the bullfighter? That's for you to decide, hashtag Whalers. Bullfight. Hashtag bullfight.
Yeah. It's so incredible. I think one of the coolest things about him, like, and yeah, he was kind of just born in this silver era where he was able to span people from Johnny Carson to Jay Leno. Even before that, what was the guy that you said? The famous actor Kelly. No. Gene Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Gene Kelly.
Wait, Gene Kelly?
No. You didn't say Gene Kelly.
What are you thinking of?
The actor that you were saying in the roast.
Oh, Jimmy Stewart.
Yes. Jimmy Stewart. Like, all these celebrities from all the way back in the day till now were personal good friends of his.
Yeah.
This is something...
Clint Eastwood was a good friend to him because they were on that Angels whatever show.
Kelly's Heroes.
Kelly's Heroes.
Is a movie. Like, this is something you don't see in Hollywood today. You see maybe, like, you know, Seth Rogen and James Franco, they're tight.
Or, like, the, you know, Amy Poehler, Seth Rogen, like, the kind of SNL cast, they're tight. Those people, and they're all over the place now because they're...
But this guy spanned so many different generations. Yeah. And the stories you hear come out of this guy are, you know, I had this guy over for dinner. Or I was, you know, hanging out with him and his wife in Japan. Or,
yeah.
Like... real, like, this guy really was somebody who cared.
He was best friends with Don Rickles. Sorry.
He was best friends with himself, for goodness sake.
He was best friends with Bob Newhart. Really close with Johnny Carson. You know, a court jester to the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra. And to top it all off, he's got, like, these, then later on, two protege, basically his sons, Bob Saget and John Stamos, following him around.
Absolutely.
And then Jimmy Kimmel and Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. Like, all these people just flock to him, and I think him to them as well. He's just a magnetic person that you want to be around.
Which, like... It all culminates into who he is, the stories he would tell. Like, that's incredible. That's a blip in life, and it only could happen to somebody like Don Rickles. And I'm just happy that he is a person that exists.
Yeah, I'm just happy that we get to experience some of the amazing things that happened for him in his life. And it's crazy to think that he got to do, like, the inaugural address for Ronald Reagan. Do you remember that story where Ronald Reagan became president and he asked Frank Sinatra to perform at the inaugural?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm only going to go if, you know, if Don performs. And they're like, okay. And so he calls Don. He's like, hey, get on a plane. You're going to perform at the inaugural next weekend. And he's like, I don't know, Frank. That's not my thing. He's like, no, I told him if Don doesn't perform, I'm walking.
He's like known as a Democrat.
Yeah.
So it's like it's reasonable that he'd be like, I don't know.
Maybe a bad idea. but he performs at the inaugural, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
I think he maybe only got like 2 or 3 minutes, it seems like, from the footage I saw. But he just comes out there, and he's like, Mr. President, you asleep yet? Over here, buddy. Thank you very much. Oh, Secretary of State, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be at work? Golly. He's like, I'm so happy I got on a plane, come all the way to D.C. and make so much money. Duh. And just drops his mic. That's one of the best bits he has. Is
Oh my gosh. The
mic so drop. Right. Like, I don't know how to describe this again because this is an audio podcast. If you're listening, you didn't realize it. You can't see me. Ooh, I'm a ghost, maybe. He'll hold the mic. And he'll be saying a sentence, and while he's saying the sentence, his arm will drop down to his side, and he'll go and let a beat just of silence, and then let go of the mic, and just hits the ground.
Which, like, traditionally, nowadays, you think of a mic drop as, like, a baller move. It's like, I just nailed it. Hashtag mic drop.
In your face, bam.
Like, hold it out in front and just drop it, let it hit the ground. Like, I don't care. I'm such a big celebrity.
Yeah.
His, I mean, father of the modern day mic drop, his was like to emphasize what a friggin' idiot this guy is.
Hey,
he'd just be like, what are you? Like, he would say something totally genuine, like, yeah, I'm really glad you're here. Fucking, and just like nail, oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah.
Like, using that physicality in his space to his advantage.
Yeah, and then he turns around and he's like, oh, Billy Graham's here. Hey, while you're here, buddy, I got this weird shake in my hand. Maybe you could say a few words to the big guy, help me out a bit. Like, oh my gosh, so good. The hands down, one of the best stories that I've ever heard is the story that he tells about being with Frank Sinatra. And Frank, for those of you who might not know, I didn't really know this at all, he had a bit of a temper. I mean, he's a New York Italian mobster, you know, and he would lose his mind over some stuff. But they were in this one bar, and it was like kind of cloudy, so you couldn't really see things outside. And there was like big thunder and lightning, and you see these flashes of lightning, these flashes of lightning. And they're kind of alone. They're waiting for the show, so there's no one in the restaurant. And Frank's in there, he's sitting at the table, and he's like, gosh dang it. Can somebody go out there and take care of those damn cameramen? I'm getting a headache from those cameras. So Don goes outside, opens the door, and says, will you cut it out with the camera? And it's the lightning.
Yeah, the lightning
is going up. He's like, come on, get out of here, go on. He's like, I swear, that helped.
And
the best thing about his relationship with Frank Sinatra was he was the only one who could stick it to him, to his face.
Yeah.
Like, to his face. And he was, like, on The Tonight Show, like, on air, sitting next to Frank Sinatra and Johnny Carson, looking at Frank. He's like, hey, everybody, glad we're here. Frank got a message for you. And obviously, like, he cheats to the crowd, and he's like, Mambo Manganzo, 2 bullets in the head Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And Bambino Benbazzo, in the river. Like, he would just like do these so ridiculous things, and Frank is just like dying laughing. He's like, oh, Frank, I see your beautiful wife's there in the front seat. She's got so much jewelry, she's fallen over. I could go on for hours of the legendary tales he has, even just running into Seth Meyers at a diner. Seth Meyers runs into him at a diner, and he goes, Oh, Mr. Rickles, I'm such a big fan. Like, so good to meet you. And he's like, oh, yeah, Seth Meyers. He's like, yeah, I'm on Saturday Night Live. He's like, oh, yeah, geez, that's too bad. I heard they canceled the show. And he's like, oh, no, they didn't cancel the show. He's like, oh, that's a shame.
Too easy.
Too friggin' easy.
Oh, my gosh. Don Rickles. Comedy legend.
He's in our hearts forever, and the legend continues. Truly, he's the AARP show that we talked about. They shot it all.
Yeah, I think around 7 or 9
episodes.
Episodes, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, truth be told, I watched a lot of the footage, and he definitely seems like slower.
Yeah, he's old.
But, you know, he's still
Don.
He's still Don, still got jokes. He's like,
so yeah, we're looking forward to seeing what that is, and we'll let you know when it's going to hit the streets. But Don Rickles, everyone, Mr. Warmth himself.
The poster child for rabies.
You know what that means. It's time for Ben's wacky facts.
Wacky. Wait, what?
It's time for Ben's wacky facts.
Wacky. I thought it was another thing. I sounded like something else. Sorry.
Okay, weirdo. Here we go. It's the time of the show where I'm going to say some facts and RJ's going to rate them on a baseball field. RJ, do you have your glove?
Always.
You got your bat?
No, no. I left that at home.
Okay. All right.
Strictly outfield for you, RJ. Go back all the way to the field and just wait there.
Pick some daisies.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was me.
Oh, that was totally me, too. Here's wacky fact number one. One of Rickle's most notorious put-downs was to call someone, and by someone I mean anyone, a hockey puck. But he once told an interviewer he wasn't sure how he came up with the jab. But you got to realize this is, you know, way back in the day when he would say this stuff. So for people like me and RJ who were born in the 90s and raised in the 90s and grew up with Toy Story, we know your hockey puck from Toy Story.
What are you looking at, you hockey puck? He's Mr. Potato Head.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to say that.
Yeah.
We really forgot to talk about movies in general, but...
But honestly, there's so much to cover. Who gives a crap about his freaking movies? He was Mr. Potato Head, kids. You happy? Jesus.
I just triggered.
Hashtag triggered.
But so, yeah, this is the context of it, is Toy Story was actually, like, making light of Don Rickles through... massive meta subtext.
Yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
The sentence you just said or the fact? Which one am I rating? Because one, you're going to get at least first base, and one, I guarantee a strikeout.
Fact.
The fact. Okay. Yeah, so you got Mr. Cue Ball himself, Don Rickles up to bat. Johnny Carson throws the ball. You know, Don swings, hits it, it's going, and then it's like, you know what, I'm kind of offended, and then just goes away. They don't know where it went.
Where'd it go?
We don't know. We think he went home. He was so sad.
All right. Well, here's wacky fact number two. Rickles was given a lot of nicknames, as we all know. Johnny Carson gave him the famous fictitious title Mr. Warmth, but a couple more nicknames. He was also called the Insultan, which I think is pretty clever. Frank Sinatra coined the phrase Bullet Head.
Yeah.
And called him Bullet Head. Milton Berle, even, from the movie It's a Mad, Mad World, which I love. Mm-hmm. I think we should cover on the pod. Dubbed him the Merchant of Venom.
Ooh.
Isn't that like such a good one?
Yeah.
But yeah, nicknames. Don Rickles nicknames.
I mean, we've talked about like three of those already, so...
Only Mr. Warmth.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I knew it, so it wasn't that wacky.
okay. Oh, I'm so sorry.
So
complainy
that's,
baseball.
That's Ben Harris up to bat. And, you know, Johnny Carson's still pitching.
All right.
He throws the ball, and, you know, you go to swing... And Don Rickles is the umpire, and he's like, you couldn't hit a ball if it was right in front of your face, you jackass. And you miss. He's like, what is this, fat ass? Can't even swing the bat. Come on, buddy. It's a game. You got to win, okay? No, folks, I'm just kidding. I make fun of everybody. Well, not the Jews, you know. Not the Jews.
Oh, my gosh. That's it?
That's it. Don Rickles makes fun of you, basically.
Sounds good.
And, we'll just give you a hit by the pitch.
I get to walk to
you
the
can
first
walk
base.
To first base.
All right, that's further than I've gotten ever. Here we go. Wacky fact number three. Don Rickles himself has been a massive LA Dodgers fan for over 40 years, and because of his friendship with former manager Tommy Lasorda,
Tommy Lasorda,
he was able to experience a once-in-a-lifetime moment for any sports fan. Lasorda invited Rickles to don a jersey and sit in the dugout with the team during the last game of the 1977 season. But if that wasn't enough, Lasorda even had Rickles go out in the field and pull the pitcher in the sixth inning. After the pitcher refused to leave the mound, the home plate umpire decided to investigate, and to his chagrin, he went out and realized that the coach, quote-unquote, was Don Rickles and almost fell over laughing.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so perfect of a fact, because right? It's baseball.
I know, right?
Have we ever had a baseball fact?
No.
Oh, wow. This is really meta.
Okay, let's get into the meta game.
All right, so basically, here's the setup. All right, here we are. We're playing a baseball game. You're over here. You're Ben. You're crazy. You're a terrible baseball player. You're a good kid. You're terrible at baseball. You're up to bat. And who's up? Friggin' Bob Newhart. Sweet man. Very old. Poor guy. Throws the ball. You swing. Boom! Hits it. Goes down third base. Passes third baseman. Third guy in the back outfield. Dives. Catches it. Throws it. And then you're running home. You're going to make it. And then the ump, he goes to catch it. But wait, the ump, whose team is he on anyways? Now the other ref's got his flag up. And the other ref on the other side, he's got his flag up. And they come over talking to the ump who caught the ball. And they're yelling at each other, who got this, who got that? And then all of a sudden, the manager comes out. You know, he's pissed off because he's a Jew. And he's yelling, hey, everyone, that wasn't the point. Ben doesn't play for us. So guess what? Automatic point for the other team.
So it was a bad fact?
No, it was good.
All right.
It was just, I just tried to make it meta.
Sure.
And honestly,
you ended up making it confusing.
It made it confusing for myself.
Sounds good.
But I'm just impressed that I was able to stick with kind of like a Don Rickles-esque.
Yeah, you did
tempo.
Not that.
I can't. I'm not that.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this. That's what he says.
I'll tell you this. I tell you this.
So good.
What was the best? Oh, I tell you this. I love the English. We got to have them for the muffins.
I think when I try and do a Don, I get like a mix of Don and Jerry Stiller.
It's Jerry.
I tell you this. This is what I tell you.
It is Jerry Stiller. It's New York Jew.
Right.
But it's not as.
Yeah.
It's not as like.
It doesn't
emphatic.
It doesn't end on a up.
Like, no.
I'll tell you what I tell you. I don't know what to say. It doesn't go up.
It goes down.
Yeah. It's done.
It goes down, baby. It always goes down with Don.
All right, well, that's all the wacky facts I have, so that means it's time for hashtag whale mail of the week.
Yeah.
Read that mail, baby.
Ooh, child.
Mail babies.
This week's mail reads, hey, Ben and RJ, my name is Mahi from India, and I love your podcast. I love the pieces you guys did on Seinfeld, Bob's Burgers, The Office, Michael Scott, Cosmo Kramer, and the latest Rick and Morty. Don't you wish you had delayed the episode a little bit just to hear people go gaga over the latest episode, which showed so much character development? But your Rick and Morty piece is very good and I loved it. You guys do great lengths to understand behavior patterns of these characters from different shows and movies throughout different seasons, and especially because the humor is of a different type in every show or movie. To hear you guys break the humor down in a precise manner is a privilege, I say. I say. I was listening.
Do you think that's how she meant it? I say.
I was listening to Why is Michael Scott Funny and realized that I was walking to work smiling and believed that had never happened before. Thank you for generating a very interesting and well-researched content every single time. I wish you guys all the success in life. Mahi from India.
Mahi.
P.S.
You're making me blush.
Before you blush.
Oh, no.
P.S. I usually don't get the baseball references because of all the crickets in India. I didn't know they had a cricket problem over there.
Mahi with the jokes. Next week on the podcast, why is crickets funny? That's pretty good.
That's funny. Honestly, Mahi, you said the nicest things ever.
I know.
But also, I don't even get the baseball references, so you're not far off, honey. Like,
not
for
alone.
Reals. Like, I don't know baseball at all. That's why I make up everything. And that's basically just the joke. That's, I mean, hate to.
Here's the thing, though. Does anyone get baseball?
No.
Exactly.
That's why they have so many umps. They need, like, second, third opinions. What is this guy? Three Stooges?
Stop
Larry
doing
Moe and
Don.
Curly. Larry Moe and Curly out there. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Mahi, thank you so much. Like, seriously, that's just, like, the best whale mail yet.
Yeah, I mean, that was really sweet, and honestly.
And if we are bringing a smile to your face, all worth it.
That's worth it. I'll tell you this, folks.
You should be going into work smiling because you, Mahi, are a great person.
I gotta tell you this, folks. Look, no matter where you're from, all over the world, don't even care. If you got a smile, that's worth it for me. Don't even give me a dollar. I don't even care. That's great. smiles all
I'll
around.
I'll tell you this.
I'll tell you this, folks. I'll tell you this.
All right.
But I do want to mention, she wanted to know why, you know, if we were bummed that we didn't release the Rick and Morty episode.
Absolutely.
We are bummed, but also, like, the show must go on. Like, we recorded it,
yeah,
and then the episode dropped the day later, and we were like, well, do we not post it this week, or what? And we're like, nah, it's kind of cool, because it shows, like, we know what we're talking about. And we got some, you know.
Yeah, we made some predictions
made
and got
some
good
right. predictions right. But yeah, I'm really glad you appreciate the show. It just, you know, that's the thing that keeps us going is you know, fans like you that, you know, if you like it, if you think this is entertaining, like, this is why we do it.
Absolutely.
And we'll keep the lights on for you.
All right. Well, we're going to end the show, but as we do it, we wanted to just let you know here at Why Am I Laughing? We're constantly updating, adapting. Some might say growing
or laughing
but we're gonna change it up a little bit and do a little different outro music.
Yeah, I'm fine, hit me with it.
Dub dub in the tub, you know what I mean,
just a little sweet jams for your souls.
Absolutely. So RJ, where can people find us?
You can always find our podcast on the iTunes podcast app, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, or Stitcher. We are a part of the Pod Tyrant Network, so go to PodTyrant.com or GeekTyrant.com to hear more awesome podcasts about movies, TV shows, popular culture, Cinematic Sound Radio, Screen Watchers Guild, Nerds and Nostalgia.
All the good stuff.
Amazing pods.
Absolutely. If you want to follow RJ on the Twitterverse, you got to go at Rodolfo the Brown.
And if you want to find Ben on the Twitterverse, you got to find him at French People and Beauty and the Beast Fan Club.
Fan Club. 1998.
Oh, yeah, and be sure to check out our Twitter page at WhalePod, or Facebook page, Why Am I Laughing, and the email, of course, whyamilaughingpod@gmail.com. Also, message us on Twitter. We've read those, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, we got to mention our Patreon, patreon.com/WhalePod.
Got to work that into the outro here. Go to patreon.com/WhalePod. The link is in our description. I know you guys love my lengthy descriptions with our time codes and fancy links to all of our stuffs. So go there. I'll post more vids of Don Rickles, the Charlie Rose interview. It's
absolutely
all there, people. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. We have to thank Ben Sound for our theme song. And now we have to thank Wolfpack for our outro theme song.
Is it Wolfpack or Wolfpack?
Wolfpack.
Is it German, yeah?
I don't know. I think they're from Michigan.
Sprechen Sie.
Sprechen Sie Wolf.
Sprechen Sie Wolf.
But yeah, you can check back every Wednesday for a new episode. Next week, we're going to be getting into the goodness, which is...
It's dry comedy slash deadpan comedy.
Deadpan comedy.
You know,
comedy.
The stuff that's just like, is it funny or is it quiet? I don't know. We're going to talk about it.
All right. So yeah, check in next week for that episode. And we will leave you with what we always leave you with, which is comedy is all about... Donnie Rick's time.